Scripture reading for tonight's lesson will be from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, starting in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle.
Good evening, everybody. It is great to see you. It's great to be able to be with the saints and to sing praises to our God and to learn about him, and not just learn about him, learn to know him. And tonight we're going to be looking at this great Old Testament psalm, which talks about who God is. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I think about the word bless, and the word bless means that you're doing good to somebody or you're speaking well of them. Whenever it's applied to deity, it always means to praise. And so have we come here tonight to praise the Lord? Has that been our singular motive in assembling here, is to praise him? So it says, bless the Lord. And 11 times in this short psalm, the Lord is mentioned. And as I mentioned this morning, we need to make sure that when we study the Bible, that we not only get the facts and the information that the Bible has for us, but that we see God in it, that we are God-centered, and we learn to know him and not just know a lot about him. And so 11 times in this psalm, the Lord is mentioned, and he is the focus of it. To know him is to come to this understanding, to praise him for how great he is. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You think about the word O. That's an expression there of emotion, of being overflowed with just the wonder of how great God is. And David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a personal blessing. And so every single one of us, as we engage in worship, of course we may sing to the Lord and pray to the Lord and worship him individually while we're going throughout our week. But here is each and every one of us. Are each and every one of us involved in blessing and praising the Lord? It is a personal thing. And he says, let all that is within me bless his holy name. Sometimes when we come to church, we come to the service and we kind of just go through the rote procedure. But the Bible says that we should bless the Lord with all that is within us. Do we not have something to sing about as Christians? Don't we have a wonderful blessing? Don't we have a wonderful God that we are praising when we come here? And so we have something to sing about. We have somebody to pray to. We have a wonderful thing to be thankful for in all that God has done for us. And so David, in the first five verses of Psalm 103, is basically talking about his own personal blessings that he receives from God. And so verses 1 through 5, you have a personal prayer, a personal praise to God. Verse 2, he says, here in Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Where would we be without the benefits of God? Where would we be without his goodness? Psalm 34, verse 6, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about all of them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Our God is a good God, and we should worship him for who he is. He is good to us, and we should not forget the wonderful benefits. Part of the reason that we come together as Christians is to accentuate the goodness of God. And the higher we place God in our minds, and the more we prize him, the more we're going to praise him. And so tonight, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at how great God is in order to help us to praise him and all the praise that's due him. Now, it's very easy for us not to give God the proper praise. Malachi chapter 1, verse 7, you remember that the people in that time gave polluted bread on the altar and They gave a sickly lamb. It is easy for us to offer God contaminated, polluted worship, but it is impossible for us to praise the Lord too much. He's worth all of the praise that we can muster. And so, verses 1 through 5, David is talking about all the delights and all of the benefits that come from the Lord his God. I think about Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Israel was being encouraged by Moses to be faithful to God. He says to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4, he says, "The Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." And then he goes on to say, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they will be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates, and it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you didn't fill, and wells digged that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. Then you, when you have eaten and are full, beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." What is Moses saying to Israel in Deuteronomy 6? He says, do not forget the benefits of the Lord. So in our lives, there are many pictures that I would say God gives to us, many pictures of his benefits, and some of them are found right here in Psalm 103. The first one I see is I see a gallows, and I see the noose being snipped. Look at verse 3, "Who forgives all of your iniquities. Instead of punishing you for your iniquities, you're freed from them." The second image that I see is balm for healing. I think about how it says in verse 3, "Who heals all of your diseases." You think about what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 24, "By Christ's stripes we are healed." And then we go on and we see this image here in verse 4. And here I see the money that is given in the marketplace in order to redeem a man that was going to be killed or that was going to be sold into slavery. Notice it says, "He redeems your life from destruction." You're in the pit. You're ready to die. And Christ bought us back. God bought us back. And so the image there of the redemption, the freedom that comes from that. And then the next thing I see is I see a throne room. And I see a crown being placed on our heads. Notice it says, "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." And then the next thing I see is I see a banquet hall furnished with this lavish feast on a table. It says here, "Who satisfies your mouth with all good things." And the last thing I see is an eagle. It says here in verse 5, "So that your youth is renewed like eagles." You remember Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, which says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's what our God does for all of us. Aren't you thankful for all of the wonderful benefits God gives? And so verses 1 through 5, David is giving his personal praise to God for how great he is. And then in the next section, verses 6 through 18, we have community praise. All of Israel is praising God. All of God's children are praising him. And in the community praise, it's interesting that he moves from the personal benefits to who he is. Is it possible for us to so focus on the benefits that God gives that we forget the giver of the benefits? Praise God for who he is. Not just what he gives us, but for who he is in his nature. And so in this community praise that encompasses all of Israel, and David, the king of Israel, is writing these words for the entire nation of God. And he praises God for who he is. Verses 6 through 10, he talks about his righteousness. And it says there in verse 6, "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. We mentioned this morning in Genesis 18, verses 24 and 25, when those three men appeared to Lot, to Abraham, and they were mentioning how Sodom was going to be destroyed. And two of those men turned out to be angels that went to Lot's house, to Sodom. And the other one was the Lord. And Abraham talked to the Lord when he heard about how Sodom was going to be destroyed, and he pleaded for Sodom because he didn't want Lot to suffer in the punishment of that wicked city. And so he asked if he would spare it for 50 and 45, and he kept moving down. He said, peradventure, will you save it for 10's sake? And in Genesis 18, verse 24, when he asks this, and he begins to ask, will you slay the righteous with the wicked? He asks this question, and he knows the answer. Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And that's still true today in the 21st century, as it was back thousands of years before Christ ever came to this earth. The judge of the earth is still doing right. He is a righteous judge. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul says that I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me, notice, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to them also, all them also that love his appearing. Or Acts 17, 31, where Paul mentions on Mars Hill, he says that the Lord will judge the earth, the world, in righteousness by Jesus Christ. He is a righteous judge. He's made his ways known, notice, to Moses. Verse 7, he made his ways known unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. You think about all that Moses saw and all those that those children of Israel saw. How they saw the 10 plagues. How they saw the Red Sea being divided and they were able to walk through as by dry land. And how they were fed by manna from heaven and they were given miraculously this water from the rock. And how God sent quail for them to eat. And they saw all of these wonderful blessings, and God showed them all these wonderful works. And by and large, Israel was a complaining and murmuring people. Are we kind of sometimes the same way? Well, we are blessed with all of these wonderful blessings all around us from God, and all we can do is complain. I think about how Moses in Exodus 33, 18 and 19 asked the Lord on that occasion for him to show him his glory. He says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Moses said to the Lord, show me your ways. I want to say the same prayer today. I want to see God's glory. I want to see his ways, and I want to marvel at how great our God is. But notice then, it says in verses 8 through 10, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you thankful that God is slow to anger? And that when he is angry, he has long-suffering and patience. He waits for us to repent. And when we do repent, he doesn't keep his anger. I'm thankful. Because I don't want to be the object of this great God's anger. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I think about how Hebrews 12, verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Psalm 7, verse 11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword, and he has bent his bow and made it ready. He has also prepared for him instruments of death. He ordains his arrows against the persecutors. If I realize that, I'm going to turn to the Lord. You know, Romans chapter 2 says that the goodness of God leads me to repentance. All these blessings that God gives me should lead me to repentance. And another thing that leads me to repentance is I don't want to be the object of divine wrath. Because he's wet his sword and he's ready, and I'm going to turn because Romans 1, verse 18 says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so I don't want to be the object of such a great being And such a great God, I don't want to suffer his wrath. And I'm thankful that he gives me time to repent, that he's long-suffering to me, that he doesn't just execute his wrath immediately when I make a mistake and sin and go against his holy ways. And then notice here in verses 11 through 14, there's a comparison of the wonderful blessings of his forgiveness, of his justification of us. Three times David says in these comparisons, as so, and he gives this comparison of how great the Lord's mercy is to us. And so we have here we have the dimensions of God's forgiveness, of God's grace to us. What are the dimensions? Well, first of all, we have the height. Notice verse 11, for as the heaven is higher than the earth, high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That's the height of God's grace, God's mercy. What about the width or the length of God's mercy? Well, verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. That's the length. So you have the height, you have the length, and then notice the depth, the third dimension of his love. Like a father, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. When Paul wrote Ephesians 3:18, I wonder if he was thinking about this passage in Psalm 103 when he wrote that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Are you thankful for the dimensions of God's wonderful grace towards us? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so his mercy is on us. Or you think about how far the east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions for us. Or as a father pities his children, he pities us. Why? Because he knows our frame. He knows that we're just dust. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we know that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Yes, I am an eternal soul, but I am wrapped in this body of flesh that really all it is dust. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says that when I die, that body is just going to return to dust from where it came. And God knows that we're just dust. He knows our frame. I think about Psalm 139, how David wrote, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You've known my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You compass my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but you know it altogether. God knows everything about us. He knows our very frame. And because he remembers that, he's merciful to us. And I think about how these verses right here talk about God's eternality and unchanging nature. Yes, we're very temporal. We're very fleeting. Our life here on this earth is ephemeral. But God is from everlasting to everlasting. And I can trust in the fact that God, because he is eternal, he's going to hold me in his hand. Look at verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over him, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord, notice this, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And so God knows the brevity of my life. When I consider how fragile I am, how weak I am, and how soon I'm going to just die and no longer be part of this earth, it's a comforting thing to know that the one who holds me is the I Am, is the everlasting to everlasting, who has always been here and will always be here. He can secure all my brief days here on this earth. And so God's unchanging nature makes him worthy of praise. And then the final thing, we've looked at the personal praise. We looked at the community praise, and then the last few verses here, 19 through 22, all of God's works praise him. All of his angels and his host and his minister and all of his works praise his name. Notice verse 19, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. And so everything that is created, mighty angels and hosts and ministers, all of his works, praise him. You see how you go from the individual to bigger and to even bigger? Absolutely everything that God has created praises him. Our God is sovereign. The Supreme Court of this nation is not sovereign. But our God is sovereign. He's sovereign over all. I think about Revelation 17, verse 14 and 19, 16 that says that God is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And this nation may come and go, but God is still on the throne. And I know that no matter what happens tonight, whatever happens tomorrow, I know God is still on the throne. Ephesians 1, verse 11 says that he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. And we might look at the world and we might look at how wicked it is and we can think to ourselves, what's going to happen? And boy, the devil has the hearts of so many people. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 does say that the devil is the god of this world. But you know, that's just a ruse. That's not reality. Yeah, the devil is called the god of this world. But you know who really is still on the throne? The true God. And so the devil might be called the god of this world, but the true God is still on the throne. Revelation 19, verse 6, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's still reigning right now. And so we should praise God, whether it's all of the angels or all of the hosts or all of the ministers or all of his works should praise him, because he's created all of us and he is sovereign all the time over all of his creation. And so you have here God being praised by even these mighty beings. It reminds me of what's going to happen later on as it's written. It reminds me of the throne room scene in Revelation chapter 4, where those four great beasts bow down before God and they say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I've sung that song, haven't you? Or the 24 elders, they cast their crowns down before the great one, the great God, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and after your pleasure, for your pleasure they were created." And so our God is the only one that is worthy of praise, and he's worthy of all the praise that we can give him for who he is. And then notice at the very end of this psalm, as it goes from personal to the community to all things praising him, the very last phrase in Psalm 103 returns back to the personal. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." All of creation sings his praise. But the question you and I have to ask tonight is this: am I praising him? Is he on the throne of my heart? He wants you to bless him. He wants you to recognize who he is and to give all the praise that is due him. And so you make it personal. Have you come here tonight for some other reason than to praise God for who he is? That's the sole purpose for our being here, is to bless the Lord with all that is within us. David wrote this wonderful, beautiful psalm, and he revealed to us the heart of God. David was a man, 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, who was said to be a man that was after God's own heart. And that man after God's own heart revealed God's heart in Psalm 103 and in many other psalms. But I think about how the Bible says in 2 Samuel 7 there that there would come a son of David that would sit upon David's throne. And that son of David, Jesus Christ, he not only showed us the heart of the Father, he showed us the very essence of the Father. He showed us his glory. John 1 verse 14, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so David might have revealed this psalm, but there is coming a time when David wrote this where he would look forward and he would think about the Son of David, who we know as Jesus Christ, who reveals the very glory of God to us, his very nature. In Matthew chapter 22, when Jesus disputed with the religious leaders of the day, he asked them this question: how David in spirit calls him Lord, saying, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool." The religious leaders couldn't answer it because they knew that what David wrote in the Psalms pointed out that Jesus Christ, his son, who anybody in your descendancy along the line you would not call Lord unless they were God in the flesh. And so he says, how then does David in spirit call him Lord? And so David calls Jesus Christ Lord. And Jesus Christ says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Are you here tonight as one that is in Christ, that praises him and lives a life that glorifies him day in and day out? If you're not in Christ, we plead with you to be in Christ. You can do all the wonderful works that you think you might think up, but unless you're in Christ, it doesn't avail anything. He's the one that created you. He's the one that's given you all these blessings. He's the one that is deserving of your life and your praise and your devotion. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. John 8, verse 24. He said, unless you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13, 3. He said, whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. Have you done those things? Are you in Christ? If you've done those things, are you giving God all of the devotion that is due him? Or have you turned your back on him, taken him off the throne and put yourself back on the throne? Jesus also said in Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so if you need to put the Lord on the throne of your heart, maybe you've never obeyed the gospel initially to be added to the church, or maybe you've turned away from him and you need the prayers of the church, or maybe you have some other need that we as the church can help you out with spiritually, we pray that you'll come and that you'll make things right and that you'll bless the Lord while together we sing, stand and while we sing.
Who will follow Jesus standing for the right, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey? Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Follow Jesus in life's busy ways, working for the Master, giving him the praise, earnest in his vineyard, honoring his laws, faithful to his counsel, watchful for his cause. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in his work of love, leading others to him, lifting prayers above? Courage, faithful servant, in his word we see, on our side forever will the Savior be. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am